If you have your Bibles, take and open them up to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119. In the book of Psalms, that is the longest psalm. I believe there's 172 verses in there. We will not try to read all of them today. We will not try to go through all of them today at all. Is there anybody in here who would not like to have a blessed and abundant life? I don't see any hands, so it's something we all desire, right? So the question is, how do we obtain that? Huh? Yeah, stay single. How do we obtain that? Well, Psalms 119 this morning, that's the title of the message, is Directions for a Blessed Life. God's very distinct in being able to give us that pattern if we follow it. Problem is, most of the time, we don't follow it. It's that simple. We seem to go off on our own way. And so, if you're able, I invite you to stand to the honoring of reading of God's Word. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 1, we'll read through 8. And always in here where it talks about blessed, it means happy or fulfilled, as we see this word blessed in 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. On that, my ways were threatened. Were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look at Your commandments. I will praise You with uprightness of heart. When I learn Your righteous judgments, I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. You may be seated. 8 little verses gives us very simple, 7 ways. Now, we know that in that the number 7 biblically is always alluding to a perfection. We have a 7 days of the week. As the Lord made the world in the first 6, He rested on the 7th, but it was those 7 days as a total. And so we emulate that with our calendars by having 7 days in a week as well. And here are 7 steps for you and I to have, Jesus talks about it in John, an abundant life. Here the psalmist calls a blessed. In other words, it is a fulfilled. It's one you and I can look back to not have any regrets. Now, yesterday Royce and I took a little road trip, okay, to a place we had not been before. And so we desired to go look at this place. But you see, before we took off on that, we had to know exactly what was the address or what direction do we have to go in order to get there. And so we followed that path. And we put that in Miss Siri, and for once Siri was correct and didn't lead us astray. But she was correct. However, if I decided not to follow those directions, then I was never going to get to the place we were trying to go to. Our life is the same way. Nobody raised their hand in here a while ago that did not want to have a blessed or abundantly filled life. And I would say that's probably pretty common throughout all mankind. But yet we never get there. Or at least most folks don't get there. They're unhappy. Well, things just aren't going right. Well, I thought I had it planned out, and it didn't work out. Well, the big problem there initially is that statement, I thought I had it planned out. that means a road to disaster. For those of you, A personality, no, we are not right all the time, okay? And I can put myself in that same category. God has a plan for each one of us. But oftentimes, one of two things takes place. Either we don't have a clue what the plan is and no desire to try to find it, or two, we start out on that path and we find some side road and, you know, our attention is grabbed. We all become a little ADD and we go, wow, look at that over there. I think I want to go see that. And off we go. And we never get to where we were headed because we took a side road. And then we get lost. We can't find our way back. I know none of you have ever been out there and your wife goes, I think we're lost. And you say, nope, I know exactly where I'm going. Can't tell you what that is, but I know where I'm going, okay? It happens. So let's look at those eight verses, what they tell us. Number one, he starts out and he says here, and I believe that all of the word is inspired by God. Man wrote it under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, BC read a while ago from Romans, and Paul talked about in Romans about the law itself. And remember the words of Jesus. He said, I come to fulfill the law, not to do away with it. The law had a reason and a purpose. And that was simply if, because of sin, sin had to be atoned for. A lot of times people misunderstand that. And they'll say, well, then the Old Testament doesn't apply anymore. No, it does. But because you and I can't live up to those 10, we have an atonement for our failure on that, and His name is Jesus Christ. He went to the cross so that you and I could be redeemed. So we need to do all we can to abide by the law that was written, those 10 commandments. Jesus even made it more simple by converting it down. He said this new covenant, this new contract, because God had the contract with Moses for all of us with the first contract or covenant. In those 10, Jesus said two things. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the same as in the original contract. Secondly, he said, treat others as you desire to be treated. You love them as you love yourself. You see, if we do the second one, the other 9 fall into place. We don't steal from ourselves. We don't covet from ourselves. We don't kill ourselves. We're interested in what is best for us. And so all those other 9 fall into those 2. If we do that, we will have that accomplished. Now, that's easier to say than it is to walk in reality, right? Because there's always somebody out there that wants to cross and we get angry at or we get mad at or whatever. We see something they have and we're interested in having it, and we start a little coveting. It's not good. And so we fail. But the strive is to know what are the marks, the directions. And that's what the statues are. You see, God placed those around us not as to be onerous on us, to make it a heavy burden. Jesus says, my burden is light. He gives us those as a hedge of protection around us. It's like we do our children. We tell them, stay inside the yard. We may even build a perimeter or a fence. We do it oftentimes with our animals. We're trying to keep them where we know it is safe. We don't want them running out into the street because Mater will come by flying in his Corvette and run them over, okay? So we're trying to keep him from those drivers that don't pay attention or would harm them, and so we desire for them to stay within the bounds that we know there is safety. The driver in our spiritual world is the devil, and he wants to destroy. God even tells us that he lurks about, seeking whom he may destroy. And so God lays these parameters, this boundary for us to stay within that circle so that we are safe. Well, how are those statutes safe? Every time Jesus was tempted, how did he defeat the devil? He quoted him God's word back, what he heard the Father say. He quoted Scripture. Therefore, knowing Scripture, spending time in Scripture, and I don't mean that, don't misunderstand, I'm not saying you have to be able to recite it chapter and verse, but you have an understanding of what it is. You can defeat Satan's temptation in that manner because you have a concept of what it says. It's hard to have that concept if you don't open the book, you don't ever read it and understand it. Secondly, he tells us here, so the first one is staying the course, staying within and keeping God's statute. Second, in verse 2, he says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies and who seek with their whole heart, following his directions. Jesus said, I will send you the Comforter. The Comforter's job, the Holy Spirit, is to comfort us, give us back feed that we know we're moving along in the right path. He also is there to guide and direct us. He gives us comfort when we're sad. He rejoices us when we're happy. He is our intercessor as we communicate with God. And so he tells us to keep his testimonies, the things that Jesus spoke while he was here on earth. And most of what you'll look at as he recited those or gave parables to them, real life situations that everyone can understand, fall right back to what the Old Testament says. Jesus never said anything of himself. He said, I have heard the Father say. He was constantly pointing back to the Father. He was there in heaven listening from creation on. He heard all of those same things. And that's what he brought to life in human form to you and I. And he says that we should seek him with all of our heart. Well, wow. The very first Ten Commandments. The very first one that Jesus said is to do what? Love the Lord our God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That means we seek everything that he has. We seek his concept. We seek his character. We seek his wisdom. We seek his thoughts. That's doing it with all of our heart. We're not allowing, you know, the second commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We don't allow something else in this world to become our God. And we are fantastic at that. We can put money, we can put power, we can put family, we can put anything that we want to be our idol. What's primary and minor your life? What's primary in your life? Now, I, like Paul, don't always do what I know I should. But the desire is to do what God would have us to do. That's seeking with all our heart. Number three, he looks here. He says, they also do no iniquity. Well, I can't fall into that one because I mess up. But the desire is not to. Because of the redemption of Jesus Christ, you and I have something that they did not have in the Old Testament. We actually have the ability to go because of what Jesus did for us to repent and have that forgiven, whatever it is. And Scripture tells us that it is forgotten. It's no longer exists because of what Christ did. Washed in His blood, it says that we are white as snow, that He sees us righteous and holy. Secondly, he says there that we are to walk in his ways. Jesus again says the same thing. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's, in other words, it is, number three, is not going our own way. Don't get sidetracked. Don't jump off on some dirt road that you think might have some type of interesting thing for you. Stay on the pathway God has laid before you. Number four here is that it says here that you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. His thoughts, his judgments, his ways. If we keep those diligently and try and keep him focused in our fountlets of our eyes and try to follow his example, folks, we cannot go wrong. We are being able to keep his testimonies. Jesus showed us the way that we can overcome temptation. Jesus showed us the way that we can obey the Father, even when we don't understand it. In that garden, he prayed, "Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will." That's allowing him to have precedence. Even if it meant our Lord's life, he wanted to follow and obey the Father. That is keeping his ways. Verse 5 tells us that, that my way were directed to keep your statutes. Oh, that my way were directed to keep your statutes. Paul said it differently. Paul said, the things that I would do, I find myself not doing. The things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. But the desire is to keep those statutes. So the psalmist says, oh, that my ways were like that. And so for you and I, in a simple pattern, simple wording, is the fact that we are to stay the course. Paul told that many times to Timothy and to others in his writings of the letters. He says, you are to stay with sound doctrine. Stay with what is truth and what the foundation, what God says, not what you hear others say, not what feels good at the time. You see, our world is predicated today on that. Started several years ago, back when it says, if it feels good, do it. No, because I have a corrupt heart. What feels good doesn't mean it's God's way. It's about what God says is the right way. So we are to stay the course with sound doctrine, with things that we know are definitely of the Lord, and how we know that is by searching out His Word, because the answers are there. Number 6, verse 6, he says, then I would not be ashamed when I look at your commandments. You ever sat down and really did that? Just look at those 10 commandments. See if you violated any of them or violated all of them. Well, preacher, I never killed nobody. Oh, yeah? There's a whole lot of different ways to kill people, and that tongue's about the quickest. We talk about them. Oh, I don't know about that old boy. Probably a living jackass. Wouldn't you hate to be married to him? You just killed him in your spirit. See, we all find ourselves guilty of things. Sometimes taking that reflection of just looking at those 10 commandments. Where do I fall? What's my score? Most of us will find out we got a big old goose egg. Because we put things before our Lord. We don't sometimes always love Him with all. Oh, maybe it's buried deep. We just don't show it. Number 7. Number 7 says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will praise you. Solomon wrote it this way. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways. You see, that's giving thanks. That's why we take time for praise and prayer. We can bring our prayers, but folks, that praises are just as important, if not more so. It's a way of saying thank you and recognizing that the healings or whatever it is that we prayed for were not of man, but it was of God's intervention. I'll use my friend Juan Nunez. The doctors say he would never walk again. He's walking. Doctor said he's probably going to be here in the hospital. This is where he will pass. he's out. Now, granted, God gave some man the design to make those infusions and gave the intelligence to the doctor to go ahead and put them in him, and that's what they work. But the root of that, just like when we do an analysis of an accident that takes place, we do a root cause analysis. When you boil all of those things down, yeah, man created the medicine, but who gave man the intelligence to create that medicine? And generally, who gave man the raw materials to make that medicine? Guess where it always comes back to? The Creator. We wouldn't have those things if God didn't create it. Everything I have is from God. Everything you have is from God, whether you realize it or not. Everything. He gave you the skill to have labor so you can go to work and make money, pay for food, pay for a house, pay for a truck, whatever it may be. Miss Megan rides in barrels. Who gave life to that horse? Who gave somebody the smarts to train that horse to go around in barrels? Who trained Megan? Who gave Megan her life? You see, it always comes back to one single person. That's God Himself. He is the giver of all things, and He is the creator of all things. We know that from the first very outset of the book. Now, we have this world theory of Big Bang. Well, I got news for you. And you know who caused the Big Bang? God. So at the end of the day, whether you believe that or not, it doesn't matter. Somebody had to cause the Big Bang. Big Bang just doesn't happen. Okay? Big Bang was caused by something. I have my own theory. That Big Bang was, let there be light. That roar of His voice thundered everywhere. And I want to know who heard that first Big Bang, because nobody was there but God. All of that was done before Adam was ever created. So I'm appalled sometimes how these scientists get that figured out. I really like it when they tell you how old something is, and then a couple of years later some other scientist goes, no, it's really not that old, it's this old. Well, it either is or it isn't. Right, Gene? You either the age you are or you're not. You see, that's just the way it is. And God, when He speaks it into being, is whatever age He wanted it to be. It is that way. He is the Creator. So for us, we are to thank Him for the straight talk. You ever notice that about Bible? You can take that scripture, kind of what I watched, you know, I watched the RNC convention. I watched a little bit of the Democratic convention. Have you ever sat with your Bible and listened to their platforms and then flip the pages to see what God has to say? Won't take long to figure it out. And there's mistakes on both sides, don't get me wrong. But you see, it doesn't matter what I say, what men say, it matters what God says. This is what's important. I don't care everybody's opinion on abortion. I can tell you what God's Word says. Thou shall not kill. He decides what lives and dies. It's the bottom line. He gives the breath of life. He takes the breath of life. It is His design, His desire. His Word tells us, plain and simple, straight talk. He is appointed unto man to live a certain amount of years in each one. Some of us have a short life. Some of us have a very long life. Mildred's mama had an exceptionally long life. That doesn't mean that Miss Mildred will live that long. Her time is her time. Your time is your time. It is God who appoints that, not us. I've seen many a time be at a hospital where the doctors have given up and they say, well, it's just a matter of time and that person lives on. I've also seen it where there's no reason, but yet they pass. It's He who gives both life and He who takes it away, because it is His. It's on loan to you and I. So therefore, we are to take and realize, it says, I will praise your uprightness of heart. I will learn from the righteous judgment. I will keep your statutes. And finally in 8, oh, do not abandon me. And God is faithful. He will never abandon us. And that's exactly what Jesus learned from the Father. When he gave those words, he says, those who the Father has given me, no man, nothing can pluck them out of my hand. So we look at an abundant life when we look at this overall, because God can see the future. You and I are good probably to see to the point, and we can't be assured of that, to the point we're going to walk out that door. Well, I got news for you. Lord could do the rapture and we'll never make it out that door. We go right up the ceiling. See, it's not in our time, not our ways. I'm fine with that. Y'all better get out of the way. But it's His timing. So the directions are simple. When you look back at these simple 8 verses, it's the same way of what Jesus Himself said. We focus on Him. We learn His character by studying His Word, by having prayer time to converse with Him. Folks, don't let prayer, that word prayer, give you a misnomer. That is nothing more than talking with God. And don't tell me y'all can't talk. We started 15 minutes because everybody around here was talking late. We all have the ability to talk. Even if it's silent talk. Ladies, don't tell me you ain't got silent talk. I've seen it in my wife's eyes. Get that look that says, really? You're going to pay for that. I knew what that look looked like. I knew the look when my mama gave it too. That meant, boy, you better straighten up because I'm fixing to wear your butt out. Daddy was a little more direct. Boy. Single word. God ain't no different. He desires for you and I to talk with Him. He give us the Comforter for a reason, folks. We want this blessed and abundant life that it speaks of. Jesus says, I come not to just give life. He did that with the salvation that we have life eternal. He said, but I come to give abundant life. That's not something we have to wait to go to heaven for. He's interested in giving you and I abundant life right here, right now. You see, that abundant life is knowing that we don't have to worry. We don't have to be concerned. If we give it to Him, He's got it in control. We have plenty of cares that we're concerned about. But folks, we don't let those concerns overrun us. We give them to Him because He knows the best answer. He doesn't see just here and now. He sees all the way into eternity. Christ didn't die on the cross just for those disciples that find the others that followed Him right there at the time He went to the cross. He did it for all generations until He comes back and raptures us again. And He is coming back. Saw one of the headlines question that is, Jesus really coming back? Yes, He is. And if you got to ask that question, you better get ready. Because He is coming back. He's faithful on His Word. He will direct our paths if we yield ourselves. He will show us those paths that Holy Spirit will put upon you and I, the desires of God's heart for our lives. We just have to be open. Listen, and then follow those statutes. Obey it. Never forget to thank Him. Thank Him for all that He does for us every day. Every morning I wake up, it's thank you, Lord, you allowed me to have another day to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for the sun coming up. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't raptured and I didn't miss the boat. I believe I'm going. But I sure don't want to roll over and find nobody next to me and all the streets vacant neither, okay? So I'm glad I see what he is doing in prophetic of our world right now. Thank you, Lord, that I see that time is drawing very near. But it also puts a responsibility on you and I to spread his word even that much more. Simple. Seven guidelines to have an abundant life. If that's your desire, then your desire of your heart should be to seek him in all his ways, for he will provide it. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm done.